Hello, everybody, and welcome to Paradise. We're coming to you live, recorded, of course, from the waterfront in downtown Charlottetown, looking straight at the Yacht Club on this beautiful 27-degree sunny day here in Prince Edward Island. Welcome to the Michael and Patty Show. I'm Michael.
And I'm Patty.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well, and it is absolutely beautiful, and this is the time of year that I know everyone wants to come and experience PEI.
Our phones have certainly told us that, as well as the texts and emails. I just ended up clearing out my Xbox.
Xbox. You playing games now?
Yeah, I'm going to buy an Xbox, and that's what's going to consume 23 hours of my day. No, I was clearing out my inbox, and I was going to go through my email to figure out which ones are important or not. And there's 957 of them, just under 1,000 of them. A little tongue-tied this morning. So I just ended up deleting them all.
Oh, hopefully nothing important.
Hopefully not.
So
let's get started.
I was going to say, if you don't hear back from Michael and you sent him an email, you might want to send a follow-up one, just in case.
Yes. Tell us about how the new Facebook group is doing that's specifically designed for people moving to Prince Edward Island. If you haven't checked it out, it's called Moving to Prince Edward Island. Do not confuse it with the other groups out there. Make sure it's the one that Patty and I have put together for you. But it's a place you can go and ask questions about living in PEI, and you're not going to get harassed to death by real estate agents like some of the other groups.
Yeah. The whole intention...
In fact, we may just completely ignore you. Sorry, go ahead.
No. The purpose and intention of the... Moving to Prince Edward Island group is one of support really about information. People are always asking questions, and which, again, buyers that are here, sellers that are here looking maybe to move off island, or somebody that's off island that has a vacation home and wants to know what's involved in selling their property. So it encompasses all of that. We wanted to create a bit of like a support group. Nothing but sheer information and lots of facts. So it should hopefully add value to your buying and selling and information seeking time period while you're doing your due diligence to decide whether or not PEI is the place for you.
So just make sure you visit Moving to Prince Edward Island. And as long as you're not a real estate agent, we'll let you in.
No, we're not doing that. Just so that... Our listeners, we're not doing that. We just really want to maintain a high level of professionalism. And again, it's about information. It's not about being spammed, because I've had a few send me direct messages. And I said, look, we're not interested. It's a continuation of the Michael and Patty Show, which is what, you know, we do. We give our time every Sunday to, you know, share our knowledge base. Not that we know everything, but we try to share what we do know and hopefully educate and inform the public as well as other real estate professionals.
And how many people do we have now and there? It's just been a week or less than a week,
it's
actually.
It's been 2 weeks.
Oh,
we're just past the 2 week mark, and it's a group of over around 300 plus. I haven't looked the last 2 days, but.
Awesome. Well, let's get started with some other stuff here, and we'll talk about legacy subdivisions. You know what that is?
Subdivisions that have been in place prior to all the regulations?
Well, the regulations always increase in basically any state or province. They become more and more rigid. There's more rules to follow, bylaws, whatever the case may be. And it's not exceptional in PEI to see these old legacy subdivisions that were designed primarily, a lot of them were designed in the 80s, because there is a number of people on the island, typically from out of province, that are subdividing all these farmers' fields off. And back then, all they had to do is take basically a napkin, draw out what the subdivision looked like, and they'd probably get approval. Well, today things are a lot differently, thankfully, and the government does look at things like erosion rates and common areas and how wide the street is or the road or the laneway. But back then, it was pretty willy-nilly. So when you're buying into one of these old cottage subdivisions, just keep in mind they haven't done any studies as far as erosion In fact, there are subdivisions in PEI that were put together in the 70s or 80s, and the waterfront lots are now underwater lots. You've seen those?
Yes, I have.
Subdivisions you can go to, you can look out in the water, and you can see plumbing 100 feet or more out in the water, knowing at some point that was probably somebody's cottage plumbing.
Yeah, when I got into real estate, there was a story that was always shared with me. I had started out in Summerside, and the story that I was told, and I never witnessed this myself, was there was a gentleman who had owned a piece of land that had since gone out to sea. And during low tide, he continued to pay property taxes because he always felt, this is my property. He would take his lawn chair out. He would sit on the sandbar that the low tide ended up presenting and just had this sense of pride and a moment of, this was my land. This still is my land. And as long as the tide was out, he would enjoy it and then bring his chair in as it started to come back.
I would suggest, going off topic, that property is no longer his because the deed probably refers to the bank or some physicalities of that property that no longer exist because they're underwater, or it refers to higher median tide lines. So I suspect that's not his property anymore.
Well, regardless, it made him happy.
We'll move on.
Yes.
You could always build a floating cottage. I'll let you cover this one here. It's about for sale signs and who you have to contact for information.
Yeah. So someone says they're driving around PEI, they end up seeing a for sale sign. And the first thing that comes to their mind if they're interested is, who do I call? I'm going to let you know, if you do have a realtor that you already have, assumingly, a custom collaboration site set up, which is a site based on your criteria, then you should contact that realtor. Your realtor wants to help you find the property. If you don't have a realtor and you're just here and something caught your eye, yes, you can absolutely call the person on the for sale sign. Ask whatever questions you may have, perhaps book a viewing on it. It's just so that you understand, because in Europe, other countries, you may have to go through the listing agent. In Canada, Prince Edward Island, you do not have to. If you have your own representation, we strongly recommend you use your realtor. You have a rapport, they know what you're looking for, and all you're going to do is give away too much information possibly, and maybe sabotage your agent's ability if you do end up really liking this property and wanting to move forward with it, getting the property with the best terms and conditions for yourself.
If I'm calling the listing agent as a purchaser, that listing agent is representing the seller. So they have to do everything, they should be doing everything they can to present that property in the proper light, tell them how it's a great price and it was well established and there's no competitors like it anywhere else on the island. Basically, their job legally, and they've probably signed an agency agreement to stipulate this, is to represent the seller and the seller only. So by you calling the listing agent, they're not going to tell you that there's a nuclear power plant potentially being built next door, it's on a floodplain or whatever the case may be. I mean, they should be disclosing this stuff. But your purchaser's agent, your buyer's agent, is the one that's representing you 100%. Just no different than having two lawyers in a court case. You've got one representing the defense and one representing the prosecution in the event that it was, say, a criminal case.
Yeah, absolutely. The lawyer's not going to bounce from table to table. And that's a really good visual. So, and to imagine that, one minute the lawyer's playing the defense lawyer and he's sitting on that side of the courtroom, and then he has to get up and walk over to, the accuser or the plaintiff and have to sit next to them now, have their conversation. So if you could visualize that, it does make more sense to have your own representation.
Getting to our next topic here, I listed a property that I sold these people 23 years ago. I may have mentioned it in the past episode. And essentially, this plays into the legacy subdivision topic that we had. And what happens is I will list a property, or an agent will list a property. In this case, it's raw acreage. It's not in a subdivision. It's on the side of a paved road. Hasn't been touched for 23 years. And of course, you're getting buyers asking, you know, can you guarantee it can be built on? And that's not something I can guarantee. That's something that the province of PEI would have to grant a building permit for. The challenge is, when we get these properties, it would be just wonderful if they're all surveyed and they did their soil tests or percolation tests. They had maybe a subdivision approval indicating, you know, for instance, this piece of property is over 1,000 feet on the front. On the waterfront, it would be nice if we knew how many building lots we could put in there in reference to the percolation tests. Like, all this stuff would be just great to have, but unfortunately, we don't have it. So when you're buying a raw piece of acreage or a building lot somewhere, regardless of how it's being represented, it's always a good idea to have a conversation with the province and ultimately discuss or put in force a building permit. However, that building permit will probably have a time limitation on it of whatever, a couple years, unless they've changed it. But there's no agent that can guarantee that you can build on any property, and they probably don't want to because they would be putting themselves in a position of jeopardy legally, because if the regulations were changed, or we've had instances where subdivisions were stated to be approved 20 years ago, and then someone goes to build and they find out that the government mistakenly authorized a approval on that subdivision, or I've seen cases, and I don't know about you, where subdivisions have been approved, they had stipulations to put water systems in or electricity or roads or whatever the case may have been, and that was never done. The government never went back to check. So 20 years later, you go to build, and then the government says, well, the developer didn't satisfy the conditions of the survey, and we didn't bother to check up on it, so you've got a piece of property you can't do anything with. In fact, there are a number of, I don't know if you'd call them lawsuits, let's just say complaints with the province now in regards to these approved, not approved subdivisions. So do your homework.
Yeah. And these, if you're going to dispute, you know, you've made this purchase, you're stuck with this piece of land that can't be developed, just know, because I've also had clients that have had to go through that process. It takes years and it's very stressful, and it ends up taking away from that whole love and the excitement and the dream of developing a PEI property. So yes, it's going to take a little bit of time, but you really want to make sure that you do your due diligence. You want to make sure that you have a realtor, a real estate professional, that you're not doing this privately, because you just don't realize everything that's involved that is there in place to protect you. And I mean, again, buyer beware, but make sure you have representation. It's not typically lawyers' jobs to make sure all your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. If you just go in and say, I want to buy this property, lawyer's going to probably help you out if you're doing a private sale. Realtors, we have specific contracts for land purchases that include all these conditions to protect you as a buyer.
And constant follow-up with the province is always good too, rather than just putting an application in and forgetting about it. I find that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and if you're following up with them, typically you will get approvals in a little quicker. I don't know if you've discovered that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So next we have, you have your property. We do have longer days on market. We are seeing more offers coming in subject to the sale of buyer's property. We
reject them.
Yes, Michael's viewpoint is reject them. It also comes down to the time of year, whether you should be accepting it, and the status of this property that the offer is contingent on the sale for. So the question is, should you extend an offer that's conditional upon selling another home if they promise to do a price reduction? Now, this is something that we have dealt with this year, Michael. And it is a sale that was subject to the sale of buyer's property. And of course, being listing agents. We have done our due diligence. Our job, our role and responsibility is to explain to the seller, they make the choice. At the end of the day, the seller makes the decision. We are to provide the education and say, you know, you can reject this offer because, again, prime selling season, depending on the season, which right now it is prime selling season, you don't want to miss out on another buyer because the property is under contract or tied up. Or you can accept it because the property that the sale is contingent on the sale of it's a good saleable property, or they already have it under contract. They're just waiting for conditions to be removed, or they've got offers to be presented by a certain date. Like, you really want to make sure the sale of this buyer's property, if you're a seller, is an actual saleable property and that you're not tying up your property. Let's say you did end up entering into one of these clauses and your home is now sitting there waiting. You will notice a reduction in traffic from prospective buyers wanting to view the property, because as soon as they find out it's under contract, they typically end up going on to the next one. So it will get a little quiet, just full disclosure. However, if this other property, you know, they're saying they're doing a price reduction, you want to make sure that you've done your due diligence. Like I said, checked in on the property. Is it saleable? Are they doing the price reductions? Are they actually getting the interest? Are they booking open houses? You can check all that stuff on realtor.ca if you're a seller and your home is being tied up. Don't just trust the realtors. Not that we're not trustable, but do your due diligence too. You would should be able to see that property on realtor.ca and make sure that what's being conveyed to you aligns with what is being presented on the MLS system, which is, again, realtor.ca. Make sure that your documents price reduction. And I like this point, Michael, that you said.
Thanks. I made it myself.
Yeah. No, it's good. So Michael has made a recommendation that if you are going to extend the sale of the buyer's condition, sale of their property selling, make sure that it's written into your amendment that the purchasers agree to do a price reduction, not just that they're extending the sale of their property and giving themselves another 4 weeks, but along with it, that they are going to do a price reduction, have it documented so that, again, weeks later you find out they did that to bait you to sign the amendment to extend the contract, that particular clause, because that's usually the only clause that's left, only to find out they decided against it, and now they've just tied your property up for another 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, what happened recently is we have a house that's sold contingent on another house selling in another province, and they indicated to the home sellers, yeah, we're going to reduce the price, and then they amended the purchase and sale agreement, so it was still in force. And then they started getting showings in the other province, so they decided not to lower the price, which really went against what they told the home sellers here in this province. So what I said is, this can't happen again. So the next time I write an amendment, if I was in a 48-hour clause or a condition to sell another house, is I would put in there, we'll extend this for, say, 30 days, but we're extending it under the condition that you reduce the price, and I put the price right in there. We're reducing the price to $550,000. Let's say it's at $650,000 or whatever they agree to. Put it in the contract. Tell them that has to be done within 72 hours. Otherwise, this amendment is null and void. That's why you're not playing these games. Because all these people are doing is they've got an overpriced house. And the reason they're getting 2, 3, 4 showings is probably because they're helping those buyers buy other properties. Because sometimes agents will bring buyers through properties that are overpriced just to make the other listings or their own listing look better. Have you had that happen?
Yes. Yeah.
Bottom line, document everything and have consequences. In this particular case, we're going to kill the amendment and you guys can go away. What happens in some situations is people will list in a February or March and they get no activity. And then all of a sudden they get an offer with a condition to sell a house. So they're all excited because they were acting on emotion. But what they don't realize is they're tying that house up at the worst possible time, which plays into our other episodes covering the cyclic activities that happen in real estate. And they didn't know that given another 30 days, the market's going to be hopping. And that's what happened. They ended up tying it up in prime time with some people that are definitely overpriced. And a lot of times, it is a good idea, if they're already on the market in the other province or state, to see what they're selling, because certain houses will not sell. For instance, in a lot of places in the Maritimes, people aren't looking for two-bedroom homes. So when you have a two-bedroom home, it's going to be very difficult to sell because most people just go on the computer and type in three and above. So we've covered a lot in that one subject, but that's the way it is, right?
Absolutely.
Be excited. Patty, how excited are you? Let's compare your first listing. Little Patty, back whenever, gets her first listing. And let's say your excitement on a scale of 1 to 100 was 104. How excited are you today to get a new listing?
I'm still excited. I would still be. I look forward because it's not just about getting the listing. It's about the story of the person. There's always some reason that a person is moving. It can be very costly uprooting your entire life. So people don't make this decision lightly. One, to have them trust me, I'm ecstatic for that because I was the professional that they sought out. So I appreciate that, and I want to make sure that I give them the best service. So I'm excited and happy about that. But I'm also happy and excited to be a part of their journey, their process to get to the next chapter. So it's not about getting that first sign, because the first sign was very exciting, but also very nerve-wracking, because you wanted to make sure you didn't drop the ball, that you did everything that you were supposed to. Today, I feel confident in the services I provide. I'm excited over being able to have the opportunity, the privilege of being a part of their journey. So it's different.
I find that some people in this business and in any business just start to drag their way through life and the enthusiasm dies. In my case, I'm like Patty. I'm just excited about getting a listing today as I was with my first listing many years ago. I truly love real estate. I love the whole process. I love the concept. I love dealing with people for the most part. And I'm excited about it. And I think it shows in both Patty and my work. This isn't a commercial for us. The reason this topic came up is somebody sent me a listing that was a fairly expensive listing, and it looked like they took it with an iPhone at night on a 45-degree angle, and then the description was basically, nice house. I thought, there's like zero energy in this listing, and here it sits 2 years later without any offers or interest whatsoever. Do you think that might have to do with the lack of the enthusiasm of the agent? Can you imagine calling that agent and asking about the house? What's the house like? Oh, it's okay. What's the neighborhood like? Oh, it's all right. It's, you know, it's a place.
Yes.
You have to have that excitement. When someone phones you, be excited because that conveys to the purchasers. If you're excited about the house, they're going to be excited about the house.
Yeah, and don't be confused too, because I mean, most realtors, they really do want to do their best. It's nothing to do with that, but don't be confused with the initial, it's like dating. The initial relationship, it's all exciting, it's new, it's fresh. I mean, you're talking about the representation of the property, Michael, and I understand that, but also there's the relationship dynamic. So You're out on a first date. Everything is exciting. It's no different than when you first meet your new real estate agent. Everything's fresh. It seems exciting. And then they are doing their job. So they're focused. They've put all that energy and excitement and enthusiasm in preparing a really attractive marketing representation of the property, unless you've put on nice home and taken iPhone photos. That is not acceptable on any price, whether it's a $100,000 home or a million-plus home. You should always make sure that you do your best in that marketing representation. However, it's not always going to be this exciting dating relationship. There is going to be a time, like there is in a long-term relationship, because that's what we're entering into with our clients, is sometimes a little bit of a long-term relationship. Long-term could be we're going to be in a relationship for the next month or two, and for myself, majority of my clients, they're somehow in some way a part of my life for years. And some, it's over a decade now that they've been a part of my life, and I have a strong, genuine interest in their lives. So just because it's an initial dating excitement, don't confuse that mean that, okay, well, Michael, you're not as excited, you know, today talking to me about my property as you were on the first day. So now I think it's time I find someone else that's all excited. It's we've done our work and allow that representation of the product to do its job. But hopefully your agent continues to be excited with anybody that they speak to, you know, because again, it's a new relationship. They're trying to sell your product. Don't judge them based on now you guys are comfortable with one another. Instead, what do they say about your property? You know, you can even test them. Get a friend to call and see what they say. Find out, you know, what is their enthusiasm and their knowledge base level. Find out what kind of details.
Ask them how flexible the price is.
Oh, that's...
And what do we say now? We say it's absolutely flexible. They will look at offers over asking price with no conditions.
Yes. Did your clients want to put in a price property, an offer on this property over, that's so flexible, they'll go accept an offer over list price?
Absolutely. How many times have you had a property listed, it's overpriced, the market data shows that it's overpriced from day one, even though you're excited, you know the odds are against you to sell that because the consumers know what the prices are, it's all online. But the vendors are adamant, Patty, you've told us it's worth $400, we're putting it on for $650. And then a year passes by, which wouldn't be exceptional on the island, and nothing has happened. No showings, offers, definitely no sale. And no inquiries. That's because it's ridiculously overpriced. So they will inevitably start listening to their friends and they'll say, well, Joe Blow here does this, that, and the other thing, and he knows circus acts and he has an elephant he puts on the front lawn to attract buyers. He can sell the place or she can. They'll list it with that other agent. They lower it $40,000. The marketing materials may or may not be good, but in essence, they knew right from the beginning it was overpriced, but I find that eludes them 6 months or a year down the road. And that's why I know you and I had this conversation 2 days ago, we'll document the conversation we had and say, listen, you've listed it for $650. Our conversation a year ago said it was worth $410. The market hasn't changed that much. So why are we switching agents?
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I went through this where I still had it time-stamped what I had said this property was worth. So they decided, I was the original listing agent. They decided they wanted to find a miracle agent to get the property sold. They didn't listen to the data that I was sharing with them. They inflated the price by approximately $200,000. I got dumped for you, Michael. Michael comes in, he walks them down. This property sold within a few thousand dollars of my email, which I did have some satisfaction that I did give them accurate information, but you were the agent that was able to walk them to the realization that they were overpriced. It's not that your marketing material was any better than mine. It's not that your reach, I mean, you do have a great reach, Michael, but again, it was mostly to do with price in this instance, and it did sell for the original price in my original email that I sent them.
A lot of agents will tell you that it's always best to get a listing on the second round.
Yes.
And that is because the first round, they have an illusion that they've got the best house, best location, best builder. There's nothing like it in the entire universe. They put it on the market for a year and they get absolutely nothing. So then the second agent comes along and they scratch their head, for anyone that's watched Columbo, and they say, well, where did this price come from? And the vendor says, or the owners say, well, we just made it up. Patty told us it was worth this and we added $200,000 to it and nothing happened. So the next agent, which in this case was me, had the advantage that they are already worn down. The market already said, we're not interested in that price. We have had other situations. You remember the house designer that had a house, and of course she thinks that I designed the house, it's the best floor plan, best location, best everything. The market data said it was worth X, which I think is probably less than she had into the house. I think she overspent, which is easy to do. Just because you put $1 million into a house doesn't mean it's worth more than $850. It's a supply and demand system. So at that point, the demand said that your house, based on sales, is worth this. Well, she took a great offense to that, hated my guts. 2 years or 3 years later, after going through multiple agents, it sold within, what, $2,000?
Yeah, it was just a couple thousand.
Of what we said the market was at originally.
Yeah, what the data had said, and we brought the information to them and said, this is what the data is saying. This is our interpretation of the data. These are the comparables that we used to try to help establish fair market value for your property. But they, unfortunately, took it as an insult that we were criticizing their home, but they did overdevelop, overinvest. They put too high of finishes for the area that the home was in. And again, it doesn't matter if you build a house and you've got, you know, $1,500,000 into it, but yet the market says it's only worth $850,000. That's all it's worth if you want to sell it. If you don't want to take a loss, then you're going to have to sit on that property and wait until the market reaches your number, the number that you're comfortable with.
If it ever does.
If it ever does.
Because it's supply and demand. These people never did build another house, and House flipping is a difficult thing to do, and a lot of times you will get caught holding the hot potato if the market declines.
Yep, absolutely.
And you're starting to see that here. You're starting to see a lot of these new houses sit, which is before you couldn't build them fast enough. You wanted to discuss, is this property swap land?
Yeah, so I have had many this summer because I find there's a lot more people. Real estate, I mean, it's not expensive when on Prince Edward Island compared to a lot of areas across the country. However, for Prince Edward Island, it feels, or the public is perceiving it as, well, 5 years ago on PEI, I could have picked up this same property for $250,000, and now this property is $500,000. So what they're doing is they're traversing towards picking up land, which our land is still very affordable. It did take a little bit of a spike in 2022, but has since started to correct itself again. And now we're starting to see now that the property values are back in alignment to, say, prices before 2022, when the land kind of did a little spike there that year. Land's on everyone's radar. So one of the things that I wanted to make sure, because when I receive calls on some of my land listings, they'll end up saying, well, I'm interested in this property too across the street. Whereas I might know that property across the street is in a flood area. However, I'm not going to sit here and put down other properties. What I do is I end up saying, I'm going to send you a few sites, which is what I'm going to share here, a few sites that you should do your due diligence, no matter what the piece of property is that you're looking at, because you want to make sure it's property that is going to stand the test of time. It's going to be there 50 years from now. Especially, you know, if you're a younger person, you want to make sure that your investment is going to be around. You're not buying it. It's on a floodplain. You build, you enjoy it for, you know, on average, people hold on to their places around 8 to 10 years now. And then you end up flipping it only to find out the floodplain has gone from an orange to a red. And now you're going to be the one left, not only with what you have into the land, but whatever you have into the cottage or the home. So some sites that you can go to do your due diligence is There is the agricultural map, so it's just agri map. That'll let you know a little bit about the sloping. You know, there is some water tables. You'll be able to see, is there a water table going through this property and a little bit of wetland? It'll identify some the buffer areas around some of the water tables. So you'll know how much of the land you would be able to actually develop. Another is CHIP, which is the Coastal Hazard Information Platform. That'll also give you some really good information. And there's also CRIS, which is the Climate Hazard and Risk Information System. So you can easily just Google CHIP, PEI, which will take you to the government site.
I have a better idea.
What is that, Michael?
Just go to michaelshomes.com, click on the link, click on the menu item that says links at the top right, and it will give you all of these.
Yes, I'm sure many realtors have this on their
None
site.
None of them do. I'm the only one.
We're not doing the Michael commercial. So I'm just going to say you can easily Google. Yes, you can go to Michael's site, but you can easily just Google, like I said, CHIP, C-H-I-P, Coastal Hazard Information Platform, PEI. If not, you're going to get Lay's and Hostess potato chips and stuff. So you want to go CHIP, PEI, or CHRIS, C-H-R-I-S, PEI, and you'll be able to get, they'll take you to the Prince Edward Island government site, the Prince Edward Island site that will have extra links of information and just a long URL that you don't need to necessarily memorize. But there's lots of information. Be informed. It will tell you, give you predictions as to what it's going to look like in 2030, 2050, 2070. And I even think one I seen go to the year 3100, which was kind of crazy. So do your due diligence before you just go ahead and, you know, buy a piece of land, but you're not even aware of what the future holds for it.
It's time for the comedy portion of the show. I was talking to somebody there last week via text. And do you ever get those three little dots?
Yes, I do.
So we're going back and forth, and all of a sudden I get the three dots. So I know enough that I'm not sitting here for the next 4 days waiting for them to figure out they've typed in one character and forgotten about it. But then I thought to myself, what a great way to annoy your real estate agent or friend. Just type in one character on your iPhone and then leave.
Yeah, you actually did that to me yesterday. I sent you a message, and then you ended up having the three dots, and I was driving, and I had my phone in my phone case, just open on my texting page, and the dots never went away. I had to clear it because I really was getting annoyed. So it's very funny that you actually bring this up. So yes, your realtor will assume that you are sending them a message and they will sit there watching it because I know what I went through yesterday, which is why when I read this, I broke out laughing, Michael, and you'd ask what was so funny. I went, I just lived this. So if you want to annoy especially your realtor, because they're going to sit there in anticipation waiting to see what you are about to say, only to have you go on with your day. It's kind of mean, but yeah, it was funny.
It would be nice if you could turn that off. Getting back to real estate, I did take over a listing that had the pictures taken with some sort of mobile phone. I don't know if it was an iPhone or an Android or whatever the case may be. And the presentation wasn't good because this house looked amazing. So I sent in my photographer and my videographer. I was just absolutely astonished at the difference. So don't undervalue the worth of photos and video. Like, potential buyers are looking at these photos, they're making a decision, and if they don't like them, they're moving on. So keep an eye on your realtor.ca listing and make sure it's up to par. Removing the price history. This is another pet peeve. I listed a property, it was on for hypothetically, let's say $600,000. You scroll to the bottom of the realtor.ca page for this property and it says, hey, the purchase price was $202. It was 20 years ago, but it still looked really bad. So what I did is I email CREA, Canadian Real Estate Association, and I asked them, can you remove this history, which they will do for the agents. I would remove the history on any property because a lot of people just look at that. They won't look at the date, or they'll figure, oh, this person's tripled the price. We're not paying an extra 400 grand. It serves no purpose because the information is kind of irrelevant if it's that old.
I agree and I disagree with you. So
let's go with the agree part.
I agree in the sense that it shouldn't necessarily be public information. Not that we're trying to hide anything. However, you're right. The consumer may make the decision that this property is priced too high, which is sabotaging the seller's ability to, you know, sell their home. On the flip side, I feel that it should remain on because, again, we can find that information out anyways. You can go to the government site, and I'm sure most
well, it's still on our system. On our system, which is Paragon, it's there. On Realtor.ca, they remove it. All Realtor.ca is pull the information from us. They do not have the ability to modify our database.
Yeah, the reason that they're doing this is because they're competing with these third-party platforms that share all this information that people, the consumer, seems to really like. So they feel they're making an informed decision, or they're just curious to find out what was the history of this property, what did it sell for, so they get the scoop on it. But it can work against you, again, having it public on Realtor.ca so that someone can see, you know, here's what it sold for, because they may be making an uninformed, not educated, like you said, it could be 20 years ago. You don't know if that particular area, maybe it's developed up that much. And, you know, properties typically double in value every 20 years. We've seen a spike because of COVID. So the math ended up going...
It was skewed.
Yeah, it was skewed. Absolutely. That was the word I was looking for. So again, just make sure you're making an informed decision. Your realtor, if it isn't available, can pull on our government site on Prince Edward Island and let you know. I mean, most times the sale price or the what is called or referred to as the consideration price will be there. Other times it will be recorded as a zero.
Closing that subject, the other thing is sometimes the sale prices are invalid or they're bad data. So that is the other concern that I had. Last week, you mentioned that Realtor.ca would share documents with the public. So in our internal system, which is Paragon, we can have documents, which you should ask your agent for. They can include deeds and maps and tax reports and property disclosure forms. Maybe they've got a list of improvements that are renovations that have been done to the house. They'll all be attached to that particular listing if the agent's doing their job in requesting that information and posting it. Last week, Patty said that you could get this information from Realtor.ca by just checkboxing share with public on our system. I said that this cannot be done, but I did actually do a test this week. I put a brand new listing on. I attached 8 documents. I checked them all to be shared with the public, and they didn't show up. So then I talked to my assistant, ChatGPT, and my assistant found a document from the people that run Realtor.ca, which is Korea. And they say Realtor.ca does not provide a built-in feature to share documents directly with the public or prospective clients via document upload or link sharing on the platform itself. It's primarily a property listings portal, not a document sharing portal.
Correct. You're correct, and we did say we're going to fact check it. However, if you have a custom collaboration site set up, you are working with the realtor, which is the value of having a buyer's agent representing you, because that's primarily who's going to be looking at the documents, it would be shared there. Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Michael and Patty Show, otherwise known as MAPS. Prince Edward Island's podcast that helps navigate you through the buying and selling and everything PEI. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you.
B Be sure to subscribe or follow the show. And if you have any questions you would like us to address on the show or privately, just shoot us an email or a text or phone call. We'd be happy to do that. Have a great day. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
Talk to you soon.